And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Oh, it's been so long for us.
It really has.
It feels like it's been forever for us.
Well, it's because we were recorded ahead of time, so we got to take a bunch of weeks off using up our slack, and so it's just been, it's been a long time.
I think it's been 3 weeks since you and I last talked.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I take that back. We tried to talk last week, but I wasn't working.
Well, I saw the recording for that call, and it was 2 minutes and 24 seconds long. So yeah, it doesn't really count.
Yeah, so sorry we missed the episode last week. I was sick. I was very sick, and Arslet caught up with us between Dragon Con and work schedules. And I was just telling Chris I've been dealing with an ear infection for 3 weeks now, and I'm finally on the tail end of it, and I'm not dying. So that's great. So we're here,
good.
But yeah, so tonight we're doing a very special episode. We're going to talk about two things. We're going to go back to regular Clone Wars as of next week, but recently they dropped the new Star Wars Resistance trailer, and I also went to Dragon Con, and while I didn't get to see much because I was sick at Dragon Con, I did go to a couple panels, like the 10-year anniversary Clone Wars panel, and I went to the Thrawn panel with Timothy Zahn. So it was a lot of fun, so we thought about, like, we would just talk about those right fast. I need to pull up this dude's name in Star Wars Resistance. Well, which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, before we even get to those, I'm just going to talk about the two Clone Wars things I got garage sailing.
Oh, yeah. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good.
That's good. Hi. Have you had a good 3 weeks since I last talked to you?
I have. It's been a really busy summer at work, and it's starting to tail off a little bit, so yeah, things are starting to calm down, and so I started up a new podcast. I'm working on a new podcast now with Thomas DJ called The Honeywell Experiment.
So what's that about?
That's all I'm going to say at this point.
We're keeping
the experiment under wraps until it's released.
Was this the thing you were telling me that happened at the thing?
It just like Eat It and Beat It, it was forged at Dario's over food, and that ought to be a podcast, and it happened.
Huh. Like you needed another podcast?
Hey, I never need another podcast, I guess, but I'm never opposed to another podcast, especially one with Thomas DJ. I always looked forward to, like, when we'd have him on a show, or when I'd get to see him when I'd go down to Dario's and stuff, and now I have a excuse to regularly contact him and do something. And so it's going to be a fun podcast, too.
I don't think I've ever met Thomas DJ or talked to him.
Yeah, he's only been on a few. He's sort of had his own thing, he's done a lot of podcasting, and then he didn't do any for a while. And now he's starting to do it some more, and he's a writer, so I think he's more involved in, you know, writing books and stuff like that, which he does regularly.
Okay.
So, I'm always happy to add another writer to the Two True Freaks ranks.
That's cool. Well, I look forward to the secretness of the project that I don't know what it's about. Other than I assume it's about you because I had your name in it.
Yes, I'm in it for sure.
Is it conspiracy theories about Chris Honeywell?
No, it isn't. But that maybe we could have some special episodes of that because I would be all for that.
we
I couldn't have
our,
anything
like...
to do with it though. It would have to be other people. Like it would have to be like weeks where I couldn't be on it, where Thomas just discusses conspiracies about me with other people.
the whole thing. There is no Mothman. There's only Chris Honeywell.
That would be fine. I would be all 100% for that.
I like it. Yeah,
Anyway,
I.
I picked up some Rexotica out garage sailing.
Merchant Rex.
Rex and Dice.
Rex.
I don't know.
Rex. It just sounds like Rex is the gambler. Like, hey, my name is Rex and Dice. Throw some snake eyes, man. I don't know why Rex now sounds like this, man.
Hey man, it's
Hey, man.
clone merchandise.
Rex and Dice.
All right, so I got I I'm gonna send one off to you because we've discussed this before the show, and I knew I had both items, and I'm like, okay, whenever I
That's
get anything
okay.
that has Rex on it, you've got first claim on it.
I
And I
still need to send you the Lego Grievous I picked up at Dragon Con for
Lego
you.
Grievous.
I know, I haven't had a chance to send it to you. I just haven't been able to get to the post office.
I just picked up a little Grievous figure, and he's kind of lame because he only has two arms and one lightsaber.
Well, yours has four arms and four
That's how
lightsabers.
it should be.
He does not stand up.
I know. He'll probably have to be propped up, but
He's
that's
very
okay.
top heavy and his balance is awkward and he has tiny legs.
Yeah, maybe if you fiddle around with the lightsabers just perfectly, you can find like the balance to keep him upright, but probably the slightest breeze would turn him over. So
Yeah.
I got two items. I knew one of them you probably wouldn't be interested in, and I wouldn't be interested in it if I were you either. I'm barely interested in myself, except for the fact that it looks like Rex, so it's kind of cool. But the first thing that I got that you will, I should actually probably grab it, but hang on a second, I'll be right back.
Okay, I'll vamp. Hi guys. So, I saw I have the thing and I'm here and I'm back and it's great. And I really miss you guys. Like, I really have. Like, I can't wait to like read feedback and like get back in touch with everybody. I hope you're doing well. Like, you guys, hi lovelies. I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're having a good day. Have you taken care
Hell,
of
I don't know
yourself
where it
today?
is.
Have you drinking enough? Have you
I don't
drinking
want
enough
to
water
torture you and
today?
make you vamp all day. I can't find it.
Kiad, I'm giving them good advice. If you haven't drank water in the last couple hours, pause right now and just go get yourself a glass of water. It'll be so helpful to you. Okay, go, Chris.
And vitamin C is always good.
Vitamin C.
If you get too much, you'll just pee it out. So I couldn't find it, but it's a little Clone Wars lunchbox, but it's for a kid, and it's a soft
Wait,
lunchbox.
I thought that's the thing that you're not mildly interested in.
That's the one I thought you would like.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the one that you weren't, neither of us would be interested
No, I'm actually gonna bring up that second because it's better actually to display on the show than it would be to actually send to you
Gotcha.
or to keep. But yeah, so it's a little, it looks like a little tiny backpack, but it's an insulated lunchbox, and it's got all the Clone Wars characters, but Rex is right out front. And it's got four little smiley face stickers and the little girl's name who owned it before I got glommed my hands on it. And the next thing we've got is a Star Wars, this sounds cool, right? A Star Wars Rex laptop. Wow, yeah, except it's a laptop for probably
Like 2 year olds.
4-year-olds, preschool. It's just, and actually these days what kid is going to accept basically little tiny like watch, bigger than a watch. It's probably an inch and a half by an inch and a half screen, square screen of LCD, one bit wonderfulness. But let's just turn it on and.
Attention! Be trained to execute the learning order. Get ready.
Now that is a pi there's a pic
Select a game.
there's a picture of Rex's face, so this is supposed to be Rex talking.
Oh my God,
Does
really? I
that
was just
sound
about
like
to ask
Rex?
that.
Okay, we can select a game here. We've got ABC Hunt, Galactic Mission.
Attention, select a game.
I'm getting to that, Rex.
Shut up, Rex.
I've got Shape Squad, Shape Collector, What's Next, Space Signals, Memory Scan, and
Attention,
Tune
select a game.
Target.
Crux is getting testy.
Do you know which one you'd like to play? Let's play let's play Tune Target because we're listening to it, so we might as well pick something that has a tune to it, I guess.
Okay.
Press a number to play a melody.
All right.
Why? His voice is so bad.
What number would you... Yeah, I know. It is... And
seven.
It's Rex's... Seven?
Seven's my favorite number.
What word did you just say?
It was the word ten.
T-E-N. T-E-N spells the word ten. Positive.
Now Rex is giving me a...
I don't blame D. Bradley Baker for not putting his name on this.
All right, what other melody? Let's listen to melody number 10 and we'll be done with this.
10.
So it's showing you like a word?
Yeah, it's three letters, B-O-N-X, bouncing around the screen.
You know, like, this could be, like, very traumatic for a child. Like, they'll see the word box and they'll just hear, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like, till they're 50.
X, B-O-X, spells the word box. Positive.
Positive.
Press a number to play a melody.
Anyway.
No one has ever said the word positive, ever.
And that's what it sounds like shutting down.
It sounds like a plane crashing.
I think it was supposed to be a lightsaber, although I don't know why, because it's Rex, but...
It sounds like the planes that fly overhead, only it crashed.
Yeah. I mean... The company that made this, when I was looking these up, made one for all different kinds of... there's several different Star Wars ones. There's an R2-D2 one. There's a Darth Vader one. But they probably all more or less do the same thing. And there's like a SpongeBob one, too. So they probably all do the same thing with just, you know... They just change the different songs and characters on it. But it's probably... I wonder if they got SpongeBob's voice wrong to where maybe they even use the same voice where SpongeBob's just like, pick a letter between A and D. But yeah, I figured you wouldn't want that.
Yeah, I'm good.
I mean, if it had authentic Rex voice to it.
Yeah, if it was actually D. Bradley Baker, I would consider.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Then he got me a lunchbox.
When we were at Dario's, he had what is it, Alexa? Is that the thing that you have?
Oh yeah, in your house.
That you could talk to, and I was thinking, man, if Hope had one of these with a Rex voice, you would probably never leave your room, because you could have whole conversations with Alexa.
I'd be like, say it again.
Yeah.
Rexa. It'd be called Arexa.
It was really, yeah, yeah. And it would give Hope an Arexa.
Yes.
And a
Hope, oh, yay.
And a Hope-rection.
Now you're pushing it.
I fit all three things into one word, though, so I'm happy enough with that.
All right, so Resistance?
All right, yes. So we've got about a minute of trailer to go on now.
Yeah, and I think I read somewhere that it's all from the first episode. Because the first episode's an hour-long episode, and I think I read somewhere that all the footage is from the first episode. But don't quote me on that, I don't know 100%.
It sort of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that they wouldn't give too much away. You know, like, introducing the good guy. I bet, do you remember the very first episode of Rebels, where it's, like, introducing the good guys, and Ezra's meeting the Ghost Crew, and they go on a mission? But then in the last, like, minute... They showed the Inquisitor and Emperor Palpatine in the last minute of this very happy-go-lucky episode.
Right,
I would
right.
be surprised if it's like this. And like, you know, we're meeting Kazuda, he's with Poe, we're meeting the teams, and in the last minute we get to see Phasma.
Is Phasma supposed to be a character in this? Is
yes,
that...
yeah, and Gwendolyn Christie is voicing her, and oh. Kylo Ren is going to be in it, and Adam Driver's voicing him.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my impression is this is very much like, not visually, but just sort of conceptually and from the amount of information we're given, very typical of a Dave Filoni cartoon. Now that we've got Star Wars cartoon, now that we've got two of them under our belts.
You know what I actually found out that I find that's going to might be interesting going forward? Unlike Clone Wars and Rebels, Dave Filoni's not doing the day-to-day. He's not going to be there every day. He's letting other producers and writers handle the majority of it. He's just kind of overseeing it, but he's not going to be there every day.
Yeah, but it's still his baby.
It's still his baby. Yeah, so I think it's I like this the fact that it's going to be an opportunity to see what like new people can bring to Star Wars, and I think that's a very interesting kind of thing that we could see.
Well, I think it's going to take the you know the first season for us to figure out what's going on with it because
just like Rebels,
like Rebels and like Clone Wars before and like Clone Wars before it, it would. It's probably going to have a bunch of episodes right off the bat that are kind of formulaic and just sort of fluffy, you know, and then as it settles in, they start, you know, deepening the story and, you know, raising the stakes and you know, getting more shading into it. But,
You know, so many people were like, oh, it's so kiddie and it's so childlike and stuff. This looks just like Rebels Season 1.
Yeah.
Like, this looks just like Rebels Season 1. There's really no difference. Like, the humor is very similar. Like, Kazuda might as well be Ezra.
Right. Like, it's just Ezra without force powers, basically.
I mean, I actually kind of like, because originally when we first talked about Resistance, we didn't know Kazuda's gender. We just kind of assumed it was a man. And I actually would have liked to see this Kazuda be a woman, like a young woman having to like learn how to be a pilot like among men. I think that would have been an awesome take on it.
Well, it looks like that might be going on in this anyway, too, with one of the characters.
Yeah, I mean, there's the girl there and stuff like that, but she's probably going to be like at like Sabine's place in the series.
Well, the interaction between him and the girl made me... although I've never seen the Top Gun movie, it made me think of like Top Gun. It made me think of like two, you know, hotshot, you know, fighter pilots in competition, you know, in good natured competition with each other. And I was getting a little bit of that kind of vibe, but they show so little of it that you just can't know. You can sort of see that it's visually, it looks like it's going to be very bright.
The ships are beautiful.
They were saying,
I think the art style looks I keep going back to the new Voltron. I've never seen the new Voltron, but I've seen enough like clips of it and stuff like that. It reminded me of that, but not quite as crisp. It looks actually kind of boxy a little bit, like everyone's a little stiffer.
Yeah, it reminded me of, like, the new style of Disney animation where it's somewhere between, like, that, like the Tarzan movie they did a while ago, where it's somewhere between CGI and traditional animation. And they were describing it as being anime-like, but it only has, like, little touches of anime to me, you know?
Yeah.
It's not exaggerated like anime, it's just, it's...
That's kind of how I felt about it, too, because, like, I grew up on anime. So, like, when I think anime, I think stuff like Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball
Z.
Like, those are my reference points. And I'm like, this just looks like American animation currently. It does not, I don't get this anime feel that they kept pushing so much.
Like, maybe a little edge of it when
the ships give me an anime feel, but not the characters.
Well, they've got that sort of Akira hyper-detailed thing and really are, like... The light and shadows on them when they're flying, even though you just get very little of it, what you do see, like the light and shadows are really nice. You know, they give it a real sense of depth and reality on top of it. And I'm starting to think maybe like the set pieces of this series might be, you know, space battles or, you know, fighter pilot battles, whether on a planet or space. But it looks like those are going to be like sort of the set pieces. And it reminded me of It was something they had on YouTube. It was something this somebody just did. I don't know if it was for film school or something, but they animated an anime-style TIE Fighter pilot movie. And there were moments of that that reminded me of it, of the just, like, super highly realistic ship shots, you know, where crisp beams of light are hitting them and bouncing off them. And that looked really beautiful. The character stuff looks pretty much normal. I'm thinking maybe they chose this format because it's a little cheaper.
It's probably because I know they had to work on like Rebels and Clone Wars like a year and a half before a season dropped.
Right. And then
it's probably much faster for them.
Yeah, but for TV now, Disney's got Resistance, the new live action show, which is $10 million per episode shows. So that's $100 million worth of Star Wars in one season.
But Disney. They are the Thanos of like marketing. Like they're just collecting their little Infinity Stones of companies that they just slap on their gauntlet.
Yeah. And then they've got a new season of Clone Wars coming out too.
Yeah, so. That's pretty much almost finished. I mean, my theory with that is it's going to be Bad Batch, Crystal Crisis, which were both about 80% done already. Those were the unfinished episodes, and then they had to make the last four episodes, which would be Siege of Mandalore. That's what most fans are saying that this is probably going to be, and I'm very much in that camp too. So 8 of their 12 Clone Wars episodes were 80% done before they even announced it.
Yeah. Still a lot of work to get it all back together and get it going. But
yeah.
Either way, you know, it's still, that sort of splits your budget a little three ways, you know. So, yeah. And why not have each show should have a little bit of a different look. And where would you go with full CGI to make, you know, Resistance look different than Rebels, you know?
Yeah.
I was sort of assuming Resistance would probably look just like Rebels, but with different characters. But you know, nope, they're going to keep doing that.
It actually took me a while to get used to Rebels' style. And there's still things in Rebels that I'm just like, oh, that looks awful. But, like, I mean, just like any, it took me a while, because I was so used to Clone Wars, it took me a while to get used to Rebel style.
It's a whole different aesthetic, you know?
It really is.
It's different than Clone Wars, you know? And I like it. I like it that way. I think it also developed as it went along, too, whereas it was a little awkward in the first half of the first season, and maybe even a little too simplistic. But then as it went along, they really started, you know, working on the Ralph McQuarrie-ness of it, which is, I'm always going to be a sucker for that.
You know, Henry Gilroy, I talked about a little bit about that in the Clone Wars panels. Like, somebody asked him a Rebels question, and they said they wanted the show to mature with Ezra. So because he was younger when the show started, they had a lot of, like, lighter storylines. But as the show moved forward, they had tackled more mature storylines because Ezra was mature and he's the main character.
Yeah, they Harry Pottered it.
Yeah, I think about that often, actually. The only other thing that I think is interesting about the Resistance trailer is Kazuda is at this place and he's looking for a spy. And so we're introduced to a bunch of characters. And any one of them could be the spy, and I think that's going to be the interesting part of the show, is I think all these characters, like, we're going to get to know them, we're going to get to love them, they're all going to be great, and then one's just going to backstab everyone, and we don't know who it is.
And I think we're going to have, I mean, we're obviously, it looks like we're going to have characters inside the First Order, too.
You know, that's, I knew Phasma, but they announced Phasma from the get-go. Them adding Kylo Ren is a relatively new development.
No, like, I mean, they're going to have, like, good guy characters that are infiltrating the First Order.
Yeah.
So it might be, although I thought about this, too, I thought it might be, you know, a sort of twin storyline about, you know, the Rebels being, the Resistance being infiltrated while the First Order is being infiltrated too. But then when I thought about that, though, if they had a spy, if you had a spy in with the Resistance is so small. Maybe not at this point. I don't know how, what point this, when is Resistance supposed to take place? Right after Last Jedi?
No, it's a prequel to Force Awakens.
It's a prequel to Force Awakens.
Yeah, oh, here it is. It's set a decade after the events of Return of the Jedi, 6 months before the events of Force Awakens. So it's 6 months before.
Oh, okay.
No, I thought it was going to be more time than that. 6 months isn't a lot of time, so I'm wondering if they're... I bet Poe's not going to be there as often, because Poe is probably just going to, like... Oscar Isaac is going to record, like, his episodes, like, 2 to 3 episodes, and then the rest of the show is going to be about Kazuda. But I thought it was a little bit further out. I knew it was before Force Awakens, but I didn't realize it was just 6 months. It's actually not a lot of time.
It still makes more sense to have First Order spies in that time period than it would... Say, if it took place after Last Jedi, then you would have... Basically, if any First Order spy got in with the Resistance, there'd be no point in infiltrating them. It's just like calling the whole First Order. So you don't really have a spy. You would just have like people looking out, looking for them. You know, once you found them, you really wouldn't want to spy on them and give them any time to gather strength. You just want to stomp on them. So,
I guess, like, I was hoping it was set further, like, more earlier, because I would have liked to see the rise of the First Order.
Well, it should have Leia, or at least references to Leia, liberally throughout it. Because
they do have a voice actress for Leia.
Okay, because she's pretty much the, you know, the hub of the Resistance at that point, you know. It's sort of based around her, and she's viewed as, like, the, you know, the crazy survivor of the last battle who still won't give up on it or whatever, you know. It's the politically, I guess, the Resistance was pretty scandalous, so I'm looking forward to it. I don't know, a lot of people are seem to be piling on to the trailer for it, and
but they were piling on to the Rebels trailer too,
right,
and so, then Rebels came out, and like I think that's my favorite thing that I've seen from people post on either YouTube or on Twitter, and they're like, I'll admit, in the beginning of Rebels, I was very, I was shitting on it a lot, but by the end of it, it was some of the best Star Wars we ever got.
Mm-hmm.
And I concur. It is some of the best Star Wars we ever got.
Well, that's sort of how it went with Clone Wars, too, so
I'm
very happy with that formula. And I've never felt like shitting on it, but I always remember the first, you know, at the beginning being like, all right, this is kind of shallow, and then as it went along, it just kept working it up. So, as we know,
that's how they get you. You love everybody, and then they rip your feelings out.
Yeah.
So, Dave Filoni gets
smart.
You.
Very smart.
But that's as of right now, and we just don't have a lot to go on. So that's all I have on Resistance. So I went to Dragon Con.
I was just realizing it's been 10 years since I went to Dragon Con. That was 10 years ago.
It's exploded since you've last been here.
I know.
It's 5 hotels and the America's Mark. Like, it's so huge. It's massive. I don't understand. It's crazy. Like, honestly, if I haven't been there, like, as many years as I've had, and I just happen to know where all, like, the quick routes to get everywhere is, I would be so lost and always late for things.
Well, that's the thing about a good thing about big cons like this is a lot of times you can. Well, now you know. I mean, you're qualified as a guide, so it's your responsibility to, you know, point a few people in the right direction once or twice, and then you've done your job.
That actually is true. Like, I figured out the fastest way to get from the Sheridan to the America's Mart. And I bypassed through, like, 2 hotels to do it without ever going inside. So, but I went to Dragon Con. It was a very meek Dragon Con for me. Like I said, when we started, I was sick for most of the con. But I did get to go to 2 panels. And I actually got to see our listener, Brian Weber. He sat with me in the 10-year anniversary of Clone Wars panels. But the first one I went to was the Thrawn panel, because of course I did. And Timothy Zahn was there, and he was doing a panel, and it happened to be his birthday, and we sang him a happy birthday, and I recorded it, and I put it on my Tumblr. But in the Thrawn panel, he was talking a lot, like taking questions. We didn't take anything super spoilery about Thrawn alliances because it just recently came out and he didn't want to do any super spoilery things in case people were still reading the book. But he did mention a lot of things that kind of tied into Clone Wars and Rebels. And I live tweeted the panel on our Twitter, so I have everything I live tweeted.
Excellent.
So some of the things that I tweeted was Timothy Zahn has plans to write a Thrawn and Ezra book about where they jumped after season 4 of Rebels. That being said, he can't touch it right now. He has to wait and see what Dave Filoni does for Resistance, which I think is very telling.
It's telling about the process, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, he was like, I already have this planned out. I want to write this thing. And it's just, he actually has to wait for Dave Filoni. So we might not even get another Thrawn book for a few more years. And he mentioned, like, it could be post episode 9 before we get another Thrawn
right.
book.
Right. I mean, he might have to wait till Rebel or till Resistance plays out, right? You know, because Filoni might... way they write it, he's not going to know what's going to happen till production of the last season, probably.
Yeah. Timothy Zahn has plans for Commodore Fero. If you read the current Thrawn books, you know who she is. And Timothy Zahn also has plans for Admiral Aurelani as well. She's a Chiss admiral. That's Thrawn's boss in the Chiss Ascendancy. He talked a little bit about how Zahn approached Vader and Anakin and Thrawn alliances as two different people. And having Vader call Anakin the Jedi is a nod to Return of the Jedi, the title of Return of the Jedi. Originally, in Thrawn Alliances, Thrawn and Anakin were supposed to be looking for Ahsoka post-season 9, but Dave Filoni couldn't release Ahsoka details to Zahn, so they had to use Padme instead. Zahn was actually surprised that they used Rook in Rebels. He wasn't expecting it. He really wants to write a Thrawn Obi-Wan team-up book, which I'm so fucking down for. somebody asked the difference between Sherlock Holmes and Thrawn, and he was saying that Sherlock isn't a patient person, he just blows people off, but Thrawn will take the time to teach and help people grow if they want to learn. A few years ago, the story group, Lucasfilm Stories Group, was wondering why they haven't penetrated more of the unknown region. Oh, okay. They were wondering, Lucasfilm Story Group was having a discussion with Zahn and a bunch of other writers like Dave Filoni, and they were talking about why more people from the galaxy hasn't penetrated more into the unknown regions. And so Zahn wrote purposely in Alliance ways to keep people in the galaxy out of the unknown regions. That being said, I thought it was very interesting that the story group is talking a lot about the unknown regions in general. We also know that's where the First Order comes from. So I think that moving forward in a lot of the canon, we're going to be seeing more of the unknown regions in the story arcs. Thrawn had zero input with Rebels when they brought in Thrawn, but he was just happy with how they used him in the show. Zahn also said if it wasn't for the Bindu, Thrawn would have won and there would be no season 4 of Rebels.
I don't know about that.
Zahn wants to explore a direction with Thrawn and Ezra if he's giving a chance. Oh, this one was cool. So, because you know how a lot of people have been bitching about, like, how they threw out the EU and how, like, all that Legends and stuff like that?
Right.
Zahn sees the extended universe and the Legends like stories that you tell around a campfire.
Right.
So a character in the current canon, like Ezra and Kanan, could sit down around a campfire and say, hey, have you heard the story of Thrawn and Luke Skywalker? Hey, have you heard about this Jedi named Mara Jade? Hey, have you heard of the story of Captain Paleon? And so he liked to think of the canon, the legends like that, as campfire stories. So while they're legends, they're called legends for a reason.
But that works to a certain point, but then there's stuff like Han Solo had 3 kids, you know, and...
Well, that's the kind of thing about stories is they get, like, wilder and wilder. Like, yeah. I could tell you that I have a great dog, and you can go next person and be like, dog hopes dog's the Hulk, and then be like, oh, the Hulk is a dog. And that's just how legends grow and stuff like that over time. They just, you know, as you pass them down verbally, they change. And I thought that was a really cool take on it. Zahn wants to bring back the Salamiri at some point and also Mara Jade at some point. He wouldn't answer if Commodore Farrow was on the Chimera at the end of Rebels when the Space Whales came. I care about that because I love that character in the book, and oh my god, Karen Farrow is amazing. This was the tweet that caused a ruckus on our Twitter. And a lot of people were just like, man, Papa Timothy Zahn is bringing it today and stuff like that. But there was a much longer explanation for it. But all I tweeted was, Timothy Zahn says that Thrawn would have Kylo Ren for lunch, Hux is not competent, and the First Order is not scary. Can you imagine how our Twitter exploded after that?
People I don't like, disagree with anything but the Kylo Ren part. And only if it was in a, like, man-to-man fight.
Yeah.
Because Kylo Ren's powerful enough with the Force that he could just, like, crush, you know, Thrawn's windpipe or whatever. But if it was in, like, if it was in a battle, you know, a space battle where you had to use strategy and stuff, yeah, Thrawn would probably wipe the floor with the First Order. The First Order is not the Empire.
Like, they went into a lot more details and stuff like that. He was explaining about how, like, Kylo Ren's buttons are so easily pushed that Thrawn could easily figure out, like, if given enough time, he could figure out how to manipulate those buttons on Kylo Ren.
Right, yeah. If
so, that's what I was saying. There's a much larger explanation, but on the base premise, everybody else was like, oh, this is why the new thing sucks so much. And I was like, that should be of more context.
Yeah. They're no fun.
Yeah. And the only other things that Timothy Zahn would like to bring back a character named Card one day, maybe being an information seller about the First Order. And he was asked the question, what house would Thrawn be in Harry Potter? And his answer was, Thrawn as a wizard is terrifying.
Yeah.
That was his answer. And what I forgot to tweet was somebody asked in the Thrawn comics in the first issue, Thrawn has long hair when he's found in exile. And he said that was completely Luke Ross, the artist. He had no input in Thrawn's long hair, and half the women just went, "Aww." But it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the Thrawn panel, and I got an idea for a cosplay that I'm definitely doing for Dragon Con next year. But then I also got to meet Timothy Zahn, and because I went to a book signing and got my Thrawn book signed, and since we couldn't ask spoiler questions in the panel, I went to him and I asked a spoiler question. I just wanted him to clarify something for me, and he did, and he was very nice about it. I'm not going to say, in case you're still reading and people out there on the internet, if you want to know what the spoiler question was, just message me. I just don't want to spoil anybody. But he was very nice about clarifying it, but he also broke my heart. Because in the EU, Thrawn has a brother named Thras who dies before he even comes to this part of the galaxy. And I asked if Thras was still alive in the new canon or if he had plans to bring it back. And Timothy Zahn said that he wants to stay as close to his original canon as he can. So Thras is dead and I'm sad. I must have made a distraught look on my face because he actually touched my hand and he was like, it's okay. And I was like, I must have looked so distraught in that moment. But those are my Timothys. Oh, the other thing I did was me and Megan, who was on our show a few episodes ago, and our friend Kate, every Friday we get together for drinks at Dragon Con. And I was telling them about this, like, Thrawn fan fiction I read that was just... wasn't really... I don't know if it was written in satire or not, but pretty much Thrawn... realizes that the person that he likes has a daddy kink. And so we did a dramatic reading while we were drinking. Yeah, that was fun. So, and then the other panel I went to was the 10-year anniversary of Star Wars, Clone Wars panel. And they had Henry Gilroy on the panel. And for one of these days, I will ask a question in a Clone Wars panel with Henry Gilroy and have him not look at me like I'm an idiot. Because I feel like every time I ask Henry Gilroy a question, he just glares me down like I'm an idiot. It happened last year, and this year he didn't even answer my question, even though I was like, this question is for Mr. Gilroy. The other panelist answered it, and I felt like trash, and it's fine. It was the 10-year anniversary of panel I'm kind of on the fence about, because, and I will start this by saying, this is a personal preference of me. I know a lot of it is my personal preferences, but I hate going to panels where they just lecture you. I don't like panels like that. I've never liked panels like that. And I was hoping going to this panel, it would be more like interaction between like the audience with Henry Gilroy. And what it was Gilroy and then three other panelists. And they were all very lovely and they were all very nice and kind. And they all had nice stories, but it was their Clone Wars stories. And like, and they had a little slideshow, like what are like the best arcs of Clone Wars, the legacy of Clone Wars. And they were talking about their favorite arcs of Clone Wars and what they thought the legacy of Clone Wars was. And I'm just sitting here thinking, this would be a really fun time to like have a discussion with the audience. Like there was one time, like there was only one time before they
Hope
opened
was
up
like,
the audience.
Hope was like, damn, I wish I had a Clone Wars podcast.
Yeah, and like there was a moment where they asked the audience one thing. They're like, "Well, what are some of your favorite characters?" And I just shouted Cad Bane because he was the like because they were talking about like Ahsoka and Mandalore and all the characters in Hondo that we love, but they had yet to mention Cad Bane. So I just shouted Cad Bane, and but like and at the end they opened it up for questions at the end with the audience, but I. It was nice, but I wish there was more audience interaction between, like, for the entire group to talk about it. I felt like it was the panelists' celebration of Clone Wars, not
right.
us as a group's celebration of Clone Wars. Now, like I said, like, that doesn't mean it was bad, because I think Brian had a great time, and Brian has a good time no matter what. But, like, for me, like, that's a personal preference. Like, I just don't like being lectured to about things. I like to interact with panels, and that's how I usually run my panels. So, like, that one wasn't as fun, but I did find out that you and I are definitely in a minority, because when they were talking about people's favorite arc, people, like, they brought up Mortis, and the room exploded. And I just look at Brian, and Brian's just smiling at me. And he was like, yeah, the Mortis arc. And I was like, I hate that fucking arc. And he goes, I know you do. And I'm just listening to people cheering for Mortis. And I was just like, I hate that goddamn arc. I hate that motherfucking arc. And Brian goes, I love that arc. And I was like, shut up, Brian.
I like that it opens up some doors to different aspects of the Force.
Yeah.
But that's about it. You know, the story-wise, no.
Yeah. Actually, fun thing, because Megan, who was on our show a few episodes ago, they just watched Mortis, and she pretty much had the exact same reaction that we did. She liked the first episode and, like thought of the, like, she liked the possibilities of what it could do, hated the second two.
Right,
she was like,
right.
This is a waste of my time. Like, why would you do all this and it means nothing? It doesn't matter.
It was just fan service. It was like, oh, look, we get to show Anakin and the Darth Vader head together and, oh, look, he knows, but he doesn't know.
And we erased it all. So I was like, at least my best friend believes in me. But there was definitely that moment where everybody was like, they liked the Umbara arc, they liked the Satine and Darth Maul and Mandalore arc and stuff like that. So, like, there were a lot of fun things. I just wish that panel was a little bit more, like, audience panelist interaction, just because I don't... If it was my panel, I would have ran it differently. That being said, it wasn't my panel, and I liked it for what it was. I just... It's not the kind of panel I like to go to. It's just not... I don't like being lectured to about things I know about. Does that make, I guess I felt like I was being mansplained to Clone Wars. And I was like, I know Clone Wars, thank you, but I want to have a talk about these things. And it's just, it was fine. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a 7.
So not bad.
So it wasn't bad, it's just not the kind of panel I like. But I like I said, it's a personal preference.
They're probably both are on like probably YouTube by now. If people want to go check them out, I'll bet you can find them on YouTube.
Oh, easily, yeah, I'm sure it's somewhere. But yeah, I mean, overall, I had fun. I'm actually looking forward to next year's Dragon Con because I asked my boss and I was like, "Are we working Dragon Con next year?" And he goes, "No, it's mine and my wife's 25th anniversary, so I'm going to skip Dragon Con." And I was like, "I can go to Dragon Con."
You can go there now and not just do what you want.
I can do what I want, and I don't have to work. And then it hit me. I was like, fuck, I have to buy my badge. Man, I can't just flash my vendor's badge and walk into places. I'm going to have to wait in line for places. Fuck.
Yeah, but you got a year to save up for it anyway.
Yeah, So I'm very excited. I'm actually going to get to go to DragonCon and go to things, and I'm very excited. And I have a cosplay idea that I'm very excited about.
Excellent. Is it a secret?
It is a secret, because honestly, I thought of it. I don't want anybody else to steal the idea. Excellent.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I'll tell you off here. I'll tell you when we're not recording. I think you're going to get a kick out of it. But yeah, I mean, that was pretty much my DragonCon. I just, you know, I worked it. I saw a lot of cool costumes. I enjoyed being in the room with my friends, and I got to watch DragonCon TV. I got to watch the Catherine Tate panel on DragonCon TV, and that was so much fun. She's hilarious, and yeah, I mean, it was fun overall, and I had a good time. I'm looking forward to next year when I can actually. I kept thinking back to your question last year, which was, when are you actually going to go to DragonCon and not work? And I said, I don't know. Next year, Chris.
No, you know. And
next year,
and
I will
knock
absolutely
wood, you won't be sick either.
Yeah, hopefully I won't be sick. But yeah, that's all I have for this episode. Our little short episode that ended up being a fucking hour.
Our little mini. Well, it should, you know, that's about right.
Yeah, we talked about things, so. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. Boy, that just came out of nowhere. I was not ready for that. I haven't gone through the spiel in so long. That's where we keep all our podcasts. And you can find us on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page for Two True Freaks where we put all our new episodes up. And we've got the Two True Freaks Cantina where we go to talk shit. And also on twotruefreaks.com, when you're there, we've got an Amazon link that you'll hear about it on the outro to the show. We also have a Twitter presence on Two True Freaks at Twitter, and that is run by the legendary Gene, the podcasting machine.
His wife just friended me on Facebook. Gene!
His wife's really cool, Michelle.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to getting to know her better.
I got to meet her and his daughter at a con. Yeah. Yeah. They're quite the family. His wife was in her Star Trek uniform.
Oh.
And the daughter was just chip off the old block.
Aw, that's precious.
You know how the freaks are. They all have them precocious kids.
They have the best kids.
And next week we'll be back to normal. We'll be doing an episode. Where can they find you, though, Hope?
You can find me at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter account. And you can also find me at Hope Mullinax on Twitter. And I also write a Thrawn fan fiction called Forces of Gravity. It's on Archive of Our Own, and my name on there is Chaos Lydia. And
you can make Thrass alive in that one.
Oh, Thrass is very alive, and he's very alive. He's already very alive, and he's not going anywhere anytime soon. And then I also beta read my friend Megan's a fan fiction called Valkyrie Strike, and you can find that under her name of Calypso. If you want to hear more about that, we did a fanfiction episode a few weeks back, which is still probably one of my favorite recent episodes that we've done. So, yay!
So we'll be back on track. Jar Jar's getting some nookie next week, so everybody, maybe you want to have some soapy water nearby or some something to cover your eyes or to wash out maybe some bleach.
Gird your loins. to quote The Devil Wears Prada, gird your loins.
Listen up, we're your ears. We're here to show you how we function. We hope you learn a lot and remember what you hear. Let's take a look at your ears and what they're made of. There's three parts of the human ear. They are all of the above. First, we have the outer ear. It consists of two parts, the pinna and the ear canal. They're both a work of art. Onto the middle ear and its parts.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Now to the eardrum's little cup. Then your eardrum vibrates and it strikes the hammer bone, which moves the anvil and the stirrup, which makes all that sound grow. The stirrup vibrates the liquid that fills your cochlea.
The tears, that rings a... Wait a minute. I got it in the tip of my tongue.
Come on.
Oh, golly, I'm not even... Let me see. Oh, Alexander Dumbass. Oh, Henry Dumbass.